Brothers and sisters, it is awesome to be here today, and it is Father's Day, and I want to just round of applause for all fathers. If you are a father, would you just raise your hand? And now look around the room. Look around the sanctuary at all the hands that are raised. All of you are, that's awesome. We have a good gathering today of dads. I want to tell you, in preparing this sermon, I came across a lady, Miss Kristen Winkler, and her writing, and some of the things I'm going to share, some points that she made that really stuck with me about fathers. And so I just want to give her some of the credit or some of what we're going to be discussing, also as we go into God's Word. And the sermon today is intended, it's meant to encourage fathers to go after the characteristics, the traits, and the qualities that we find in our Heavenly Father. And so for this sermon, and this is the last of the series of The Incredible Family, we're going to be talking about qualities, characteristics, traits, six in particular, and we're going to go into Scripture that God the Father reveals and shows us that we are to imitate. That being said, if you have your bulletin, you have sermon notes. If you would look at that as I go and talk about these qualities and characteristics, there's a blank besides the hero dad. The hero dad what? And I'm going to go through this list with you, and you have a chance to write those down. And I don't have the scripture that's going to show up on the screen, and you're not going to have time to look up every scripture verse probably, but it's here in your bulletin. And if you would just listen along, I will read out all the verses. Here's what I would love to happen more than anything. If you would please try not to hear this sermon as a great little lecture or a sermonette. Instead, ask God to give you these characteristics, these qualities, these traits. I'm talking to fathers on Father's Day. This applies to so many more. You don't need to tune out if you're not a dad. So many of these things you can relate to and you can apply to your life, and I want to encourage you to do so. And ask God. This is awesome. Do this. As we go through these qualities, as we go through these traits, as we hear a scripture passage on that, as we try to relate that to today and what that means today, ask God, even if you're doing a great job, what can I do better? What can I do different? How can I be more loving? Show me, Father. And then just ask him for that. Give me an epiphany. Show me what you will and make a comment. Write a note and then go do it. Practice this. It doesn't matter if your baby is, where's Jay? If you're the youngest dad here or if you're the oldest dad here. There are certain things, it doesn't matter. You can be 98 years old and you still want to hear, I love you, from a mom or dad. That never goes old and it never should. So the first quality I want to share with you is the hero dad leads. The hero dad leads, L-E-A-D-S. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. I love that word, integrity. Growing up, I really wanted to be in the military, and there were certain words that got to me: honor, loyalty, character, integrity. They were more than just words. I wanted to live by them, and if I messed one of them up, I wanted a do-over. I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to start over in that quality. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. If you're a man, be a man of integrity. If you're a woman, be a woman of integrity. It doesn't matter how old you are, be a person of integrity. It's more than just a word. It's something to try to live by. It's not something that just sounds nice. And how are we doing at integrity when nobody's watching? How are we doing with integrity when no one else is there? You're there, and God's there. Be a person of integrity. Dads, be men of integrity. If you look at Moses in the Bible, he listened to God. He obeyed God. He was a man of integrity. Take the same person, similar age, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, He said he would do something, then he wouldn't do it. He was not a man of integrity. We can look at many places in the Bible. You can look at many people in your own life. I bet you could think of one or two or three or four people that you're like, if I say the word integrity and think of somebody that you know, somebody will probably come to mind, but you may not have a long list. Don't do it for this sake, but are you a person of integrity that other people would even know that? Be a person of integrity. Also, the father hero teaches. The father hero teaches. And Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, you know, I knew a neighbor kid, and she grew up in a really nice household, and it didn't work out. No, it pretty much works out that if you raise a child the way that they should go, they will follow that as they go older. It's true. Think anyone here ever, were any of you ever disciplined by your parents? The fact that you are still here means you probably were corrected and learned how to cross the street properly, right? If you're still here. If you weren't, I don't think you'd be in the congregation today. We need to teach, and it's not just in school, but teach your children out of school. When they're in school, you're actually not teaching them anything because they're in school and you're not there. What are they doing? How are you teaching them? What's going on in their lives? Or how engaged? What activities are they involved in? Or are they not involved in? Look at that. This isn't a guilt trip. This is, how can I up my game? How can I, I'm past that. I'm an empty nester. My child has left home 15, 20 years ago. I'm a grandparent. I'm a great grandparent. Get creative. You're still a parent. You're still a dad. How can, you know what? This was a great book. I like this Bible. I'm going to send them one. How, do things, engage them. It's never too late, and it's true. You may feel maybe you might feel it's too late in life. It's never, ever too late. It is never too late. There was a family who did not have the best family situation, and things weren't going that great in the family, and it was a husband, a wife, a 19-year-old daughter, and a 12-year-old son. Dad, mom, sister, brother. The daughter, the sister, she's dating a guy, and something the dad notices, or something's just not right. And he finds in her bedroom a shoebox filled with marijuana. Oh, bad. Dad calls the daughter in, explain this. It's not mine, it's my boyfriend's. Oh, things are really bad. He goes, that's it. You're grounded and you're going to church. Oh, church. The dad then goes and finds a friend of his that he's close friends with, and he says, I don't know what to do with her. And he says, what happened? And the friend goes, tell me again, what was the discipline? She's grounded and she has to go to church. What? No, no, no. The friend says, first off, God is cool. Church is great. You're the one that has a problem. Do not punish your children by saying you're going to church. That's your punishment. What am I going to do? He goes, you've got to change your story. What are you talking about? Something's happening. She's not getting something out of family life. You're not engaging in some way, and you need to have something going on. Well, what do you mean? Go to God. Pray. Go to God. I don't know what the answer is. He left frustrated. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You know when your child is a baby and eats food, and as a result of eating food, they process that food and it comes out? What do you have to do? Change the diaper. When they get to be 16 and 17, they know a lot, and they're not coming to you, and you're like, what do I do? You have to think outside the box because your child is at a different stage in life. The dad went to he prayed, and he went to the internet. 2 weeks later, he calls the family together. He didn't prep his wife. She didn't know what was coming. Family meeting. Family meetings are in the living room. They're on the couch. His wife, his daughter, and his son. And he goes, I've done some research. In Mexico, there is an orphanage, and if they don't get $28,000, the orphanage is going to go under. And he stops talking. And the the wife and the children, they look at each other, and they weren't being disrespectful. They're like, okay, what? And he goes, we should do something. What? I don't know. We should help out in some way. And soon after the family meeting ended, and they didn't solve the world's problems, and everybody ended in singing Kumbaya. They go off, and 2 weeks go by. No, I'm sorry. 2 days go by, and the son goes, Dad, I've been working on that, a website template thing that I've been, and we could do fun. We could look into using a website to collect money. We could post the orphanage and see about starting. I like the way you're thinking. 3 days later, the daughter says, Dad, one of my best friends in school, her dad, his whole job is to do professional fundraising. Dad says, you think we can get him? 2 weeks later, the daughter broke up with her boyfriend. Why? She found a better story. She was engaged. How are we doing, dads, at engaging our children in their lives? I'm not saying don't write in your notes, start an orphanage in Mexico. I am saying teach your children and engage in your children, and sometimes that means getting creative. Pray. Go talk it out with other friends. What the father did well, he went to his friend and he goes, I don't know what to do. And his friend gave good advice. Pray. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, and these words that I command you today, these words I command you today, think scripture, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So the word of God is to be talked about when they're saying in scripture, when you're standing up, when you're sitting down, when you're lying down. I guess the question is, when is it not discussed? We should always have the word of God talked about, discussed. We should be teaching and training our children. And this is so important. Yet sometimes in our family life, talking about the Crummets, we like Netflix. And Netflix has shows that are fun to watch. And I find that we're watching and we're doing a family activity, but how much time do I spend in Netflix versus, and I'm not saying Bible is like saying you have to go to church. Make it fun. Make it real. Spend time on a regular basis engaging your family in the Word of God. Also, the father hero provides. The father hero provides. In Matthew 7:9-11, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Dads, we have a real obligation, a mandate. There's something we have to do, and what we have to do is we have to ask God for all the strength, all the power, everything that we possibly can do to raise our children in the way God wants us to do. Do you know what that requires? Intentionality. I didn't have this, not in your notes about a hero dad is intentional, but I would add that be intentional. Be intentional with your children. Be intentional with your family. Do not be reactive. It is so easy to be passive. It is so easy to not want to always, you know, at work, I do this and this, and I have so much responsibility. I just want to come home. It's when you come home that you bring your game up. It's when you come home to engage your children. This is for all parents. This is for all of us with children. This is something that just makes such a difference, and we have this duty and obligation to do the best we can, and we have the perfect example. Amen? Amen. We have Father God. The father hero disciplines and corrects. The father hero disciplines and corrects. I know all teenagers love this one so much with a passion. Who here loves to be disciplined and corrected? Well, you raised your hands last time. I don't see any hands this time. It's not fun. When you hear the word discipline, when I hear the word discipline, what comes to mind is a spanking, and I also think of spankings. Now this generation has a lot of timeouts. Then there's spankings. You can be put in a corner and you have to spend time there. The thing is, when it's done right, there's patience, there's love, and there's consistency. When discipline is done right, the parent, there's patience, there's love, and there's consistency. And it's only effective when there's already been a foundation established between the parent and the child of love. When they know that you love them and the reason why it's happening. First, delight in your child and then be willing to correct them. First, delight in your child and then be willing to correct them. You know, King David, his third child was Absalom. And Absalom, Tamar was a sister, a beautiful girl, and Amnon was a half-brother, and Amnon lusted after Tamar. He sinned, and he did horrible things to her, kicked her out. Absalom waited 2 years, and then he had a party in front of his father David. He had his servants kill his brother, and then he ran away. He escaped. And David missed him, and he wanted to go after him, but he didn't do anything. Reconciliation occurred a couple years later, and then he started undermining his dad. And then he started a conspiracy, and he slept with King David, his father's concubines. And he rebelled so badly, but David still would not go after him. He told his generals specifically, deal gently with my son. They disobeyed. They killed him. And it's just a very, very sad story of what really happened in this family life of King David. And we don't know what would have happened, but I do wonder what would have happened if David had immediately disciplined Absalom years prior. How would Absalom's life have turned out? We don't know. We don't know. But parents discipline their children and do it out of love. The father hero protects. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. What is fear in this context? What does fear mean? What is this fear? There's healthy fear and there's unhealthy fear. When it comes to fearing the Lord, have a very strong respect for God. Understand who he is, how powerful he is, what he is capable of doing, what he has done in the past, what he can do again. It's so imperative to understand and not just understand, but to fear the Lord. And as a result of that, you have a better chance as a father or as a mother of having a safe place. From that fear, you can develop wisdom, but it starts with the healthy fear. And from that fear, you have wisdom. And with that wisdom, you can help protect your family from the snares and the hazards of the enemy who can really harm you. A father who fears the Lord and walks with the Lord is a much better off father than one who does not. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As I'm reading these scripture passages, as we're talking, you're hearing these points. These are points to not just listen to, but to try to strive to live by. This is something that we should go for and be these kind of people. Be strong and courageous. What if you don't feel it? It's not asking you to feel it. It's asking you to be strong and be courageous. Well, it's hard. be strong and be courageous. The father hero loves. Who here is a grandparent? Raise their hand. A grandparent. I can't believe how many grandparents are here. That's impressive. Proverbs 17:6. Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. Grandchildren are the crown. I know one person in particular, but there are others that are grandparents. Particularly, I think of some grandfathers that have Facebook accounts. And I notice on these Facebook accounts, there's a lot of comments and pictures of their grandchildren. I didn't know that there were so many grandchildren that were the best in the world, that were the smartest in the world, that were the prettiest in the world, that are the handsomest. There's a lot of number one. They are the crown. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and glory of the children is their fathers. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Decisions we make today, brothers and sisters, impact not just us, but our children, not just tomorrow, but into the future. Be wise in the decisions that we make. The purpose of parenting is to leave a biblical legacy. The purpose is to raise your children in the way of the Lord, that they may be witnesses for him. How are we doing at that? How are you doing at that? Give yourself a little litmus test. Check out. Go to God and like, how am I doing, God? What areas do I really need to work on? Maybe there are some areas that God's just given you the blessing. In this area, you are just on fire. You know what? I wrote a book on this for children. You own this. But what about this? And what about this area? And what about this area? What are we doing to strive to be the best dads that we can be? How is that going for us? How about God the Father? How does he feel about us? How does God the Father feel about you? He loves you so much that I can't even begin to use words that can help you comprehend and feel it. We had the song earlier, Build a Fire Within My Soul That I Can't Contain, That I Can't Control. I even went out of my normal voice to get that I can't contain. I'm like, I'm in it. But that was the goal. The goal was to get in it. Are we getting in it? If I preach this and you don't feel like you can get in it, then it's not going anywhere. And it's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's about changing to live a life that he wants us to live, to be the children he wants us to be the parents, the fathers, the mothers that he's intended for us to be. I didn't think of this next part on my own. Dr. Robert Lewis is a guy who did a series that I fell in love with, and it has to do with manhood and the search for Man Quest, the search for authentic manhood. And in the process, one of the things he talks about is there's three things your children need to hear from you. There are three things that they have to hear. If they never hear this, they're going to spend the majority of their life trying to fill a void and a lot of negative areas that they didn't get from you. If you have never told your children, or it's been a while since you've told your children, if it's Father's Day and you haven't talked to your child yet, don't wait for them. It's Father's Day. They need to come to me. No, don't wait for them. Be proactive. Call them up and say, I got to tell you, I love you. I am proud of you. And you're good at whatever that is. Dig deep. If you can't, if they do a lot of the good things, what do they really do well? And tell them. Imagine for a moment your dad's mom's still around in your life, active. It doesn't matter how old you are. Anyone here, just try to imagine being that, and they call you on the phone right now. Dick Popham, Dick, dad's on the phone. Dick, I love you. I am so proud of you, what you've done with your life. You are such a good, who doesn't want to feel that? There's something even better than that, though. God the Father loves you even more than that. God the Father loves you even more. And if you don't know God the Father, if you don't know his son Jesus, if you don't have that relationship, you're missing out on something so fantastic, so amazing, that even that idea of hearing your mom and dad, your dad call you and tell you these things, even more than that, hearing God the Father, having a relationship. And it takes being broken. It takes being broken and within ourselves and realizing, I can't do it on my own. I'm not perfect. I sin. I'm a sinner. And what does that sin mean? It means you are separated from God. And then saying, I am a sinner, but meaning and being willing to be broken in that, it's not just a statement, it's an acknowledgement that I am not worthy, but Jesus loves me so much. Your son loves me so much. You love me so much that you sent your son to live a perfect life. And he didn't have to. He never had to. And he loves us that much. But he went past loving us in life. He went to death, dying on the cross for you and me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That is an example of the love that we want to share with you today. If you don't have that, you're going to have a chance later to accept Jesus into your life. All right, so we have the Bible. Lift up your left hand. We got the Bible. That's symbolic of your left hand. You've got your own life. Your right hand. You got the right hand, that's you. You got the Bible, you got you. Bring them, your hands together. Clap. Start rubbing. How do we take the Bible, the Word of God, and apply it into our lives? Where's the rub? Here's the rub. When you start feeling friction and skin coming off your hands, you can stop. Take out your card, and like it was shared earlier, if you've never filled this out before, do us a favor. Just put your name, fill out what you're comfortable with, but the back side is what we're interested in right now. My next step is to, I don't want you to write out A where A is, or B or C where B and C are. Just put a checkbox next to A if you're going to take this challenge on. And then in your bulletin, on your sermon notes at the bottom, it's already written out with a couple blanks. So if you would, take these two things out and listen to this. A, I mentioned earlier, if you have any questions or doubts or it's been so long since you told your children, tell them you love them, tell them you're proud of them, tell them something that they're really good at. It's so important for them to hear that from you. If you're willing to do that, check A and then fill in the sermon notes, love, proud, and good. Secondly, who here is a parent that has children that still live in your home? We got hands like this. I want to see it with pride. Okay. This is a hard thing to, this was very uncomfortable when I heard this the first, second, and third time. Imagine they're driving away for the last time, where they're not going to be, I'm not asking for people to cry. But imagine they're driving away for the last time where they're not going to be spending the night under your roof on a regular basis. They're going off to college. They've bought a home. They're moved to an apartment, and they're driving away. You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to get it all right. But have you instilled in them the morals, the principle, the life lessons, the coaching, everything that you could think of? Sometimes we don't think of it. You know what? I have yet to teach Kaylee and Catherine how to change a tire, but it's on the list. Write a list. Create a bucket list of what I still want to teach and instill in your child or children, and then put a date when you're going to do it by. It's easy to say, we'll do that. 5 years later, it's not done. Write a list of, create a bucket list of what you're going to teach your children and when. What if your child has already driven away that last time? You know what? I never showed them how to change a tire. I'm coming over. You're in Minnesota. I'll be there in 3 days. See what you can do to still teach and love and be engaged in your child's life. Third, be an intentional role model to your children. It's a scary thought if you think about it. Our children look at our actions more than they listen to our words. Studies have been done to show that children watch us. I don't like the phrase, do as I say, not as I do. Because then I'm being two-faced. I'm contradicting myself. Do what I'm saying, but don't watch me over here, because whatever I'm doing over here is not good, and I don't want you to imitate it. No. How are we acting? What kind of role model are we being? How is that going for us? Our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, we're being watched. How are we doing at that? Are we being the Christians God has intended for us to be? And if you are fatherless, if you're not a dad, how can you engage in impacting children's lives in a positive way? What can you do? Look for ways, pray to God. God, is there something you want me to do to help out? I have something I can teach, something I can instill. What do you want me to do with that? Be intentional. Be loving. Be proactive. Continue to be the children that God has intended us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for bringing us here today. Thank you so much for all the